So we come to the third commandment today in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So our first question is, what are we to learn? What are you to learn? We look at this commandment for instruction. Firstly, we discover here that God's name is a declaration of his being, knowledge, power, eternality, majesty, holiness, and glory. The name of God is not simply a label. It is who he is. So whenever we use the name of God, we're expressing something and talking about and addressing who he is. The proper use of God's name affirms his existence and shows awe and reverence. Secondly, then, so to properly use God's name, it should be used in a manner that it affirms that he is real, that he exists, and used in a manner that properly reflects the awe and reverence we should have for the eternal creator being who rules over all things with all power. Thirdly, then, we learn that to take God's name in vain is to use it in an empty, deceitful, false, or worthless manner. And those terms come from the Hebrew word that is used to translate into English, vain. I'm sure I will mispronounce it, but the Hebrew word is Shiva or Shiva, and it means in its basic form something that's empty, deceitful, false, or worthless. So to take God's name in vain means that we use his name in one of these empty, worthless manners. To do so denies God's existence, holiness, and power. Denies something or everything about his nature. For instance, if you're in your home and you drop a gallon of milk on the floor and it explodes all over your kitchen and you shout out, "Oh, Bob!" Well, I'm not there, see? And you're just expressing some surprise or some shock with the realization that I'm not there. Otherwise, if I was there, you would say, "Bob, help me," and expect me to come and clean it up, which I would gladly do. But if we use God's name that way, then we're saying the same thing. We're expressing that we do not believe he's omnipresent or that he hears everything that we say. And that's not an outstanding example, but it's just one attempt to explain how we often use God's name in vain. The fourth thing we discover is that God forbids the vain use of his name, and he promises punishment for those who do so. So those are the four things we learn from this commandment. The second question is, what are we to do? So given this commandment, what are you to do? What am I to do? Firstly, we are not to use God's name as a curse word. We are not to use it to express surprise or as empty expressions in prayers or speeches or to confirm anything false or in any way that is not talking to God or reverently and lovingly talking about God in a manner that acknowledges who he is. Generally, whenever we think of taking God's name in vain, we think of using his name in a curse phrase. That's generally how we think of it. But if taking God's name in vain is to use it in an empty and worthless or false manner. It means that anytime we use God's name in any of these ways, we violate this commandment and dishonor God. Now, you know, a couple of these areas that probably should give some attention to. One is to express surprise. It's easy for us to fall into that habit of expressing surprise by saying the name of God. Yes, Joseph? Just to sound good, it would. Kate, you don't have a prayer request list, do you? Will you give her a prayer request list? Anyone else missing a prayer request list? Boyce? Steve has. Give one to Pastor Steve. Yes, just to say God bless you as a cliche. I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying God bless you, and I say it frequently, but it's important that we not use that as a cliche, that we're thinking about what we're saying, and we really mean God bless you. Of course, we've heard the speeches, you know, God bless America, by people who do not even believe in God or have any idea of who God is. Or phrases such as God is my witness. And they don't really mean that. Probably one that gets closer to home with us that we should be careful about is empty expressions in prayers. It is easy for us in praying to fall into a habit of praying. And we should watch our praying to make sure that we're just not repeating the same thing every time we pray over and over again without thinking about it. Certainly, there isn't anything wrong with praying the same things, praising God in the same way, asking for the same things, but we should be careful that we're simply not being repetitious without thinking about what we're asking. But in falling into that habit, many times we come to use the name of God as simply a comma or a punctuation, a period, a pause in our praying. And I think it might help us if we think how we would talk to another person. You know, if I'm talking to Clyde, I don't say, "It's raining outside, Clyde." Clyde? Are you afraid of the tornado, Clyde? Oh, Clyde. You know, I just talk to him. So we are not to use God's name in these ways. Secondly, we are to use God's name only to speak to him or reverently about him. And thirdly, we should cultivate a holy fear of dishonoring God by dishonoring his name. Doesn't mean we are to be terrified of God. It means that we are to have a respect, and a respect in recognition of who God is. And there is a sense in which there is a right and holy and reverent fear before God. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Then fourthly, what are we to believe? Since God is omnipresent, the use of his name honors and glorifies him. Because every time we use his name, he's right there. You know, we're speaking to him or about him, and it displays the reality of his presence and character and nature. So we are to believe that he is present and that the proper use of his name honors him and glorifies him. Secondly, we are to believe that the proper use of God's name expresses our love and thanksgiving to him. Fifthly and finally, where are we going, and what does it mean in relation to this commandment? We are to thank God that He has forgiven our unbelief and the dishonor we have shown Him, and that He has given us everlasting life with Him. The Christian life is all about one thing, going to heaven. I mean, in terms of its effect on us. It's our relationship with God and spending eternity with God. So we are to thank God that He's forgiven us and given us everlasting life with Him.